Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
One of my handicaps in doing afterlife research was that I could not make myself believe in psychic mediums. I must have tested more than a dozen, and even the expensive ones were saying these vague things, doing cold reading. I never really felt that I was in contact with anybody. It was always a bust. So I haven't done it for more than 10 years until last February. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes. And our guest today is the wonderful Suzanne Wilson. She is a genuine psychic medium. She has restored my faith in the whole field, and frankly, she has transformed my life. Welcome, Suzanne. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, thanks for having me, Roberta. I'm delighted to join you.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about psychic mediumship because I think we need to introduce the field to people. There are various kinds of mediums, and we want people to know what they are. But then what I want to talk about is primarily an area which most people don't even really think about, and that's working with the guides that we all have who are helping us hit the marks in our life plans. But first, Suzanne, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I knew as a child that I was very different. I was what you would call a loner or a weird little kid. And I would see colors and lights and spirits around other people. And I quickly found out that you just don't go around the playground announcing that.
No.
I got beat up.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But I put away my abilities and tried to ignore them and shut them down for a very long time. Led a normal life, got my bachelor's in business and my master's in public policy, had a career, got married. And then in my adult life in 2007, I had a near-death experience. And then all of a sudden, not only could I not ignore these abilities, I couldn't turn them off. So yeah. I had to go and study. And in the course of studying, I realized that this was very, very healing and what I was meant to do.
It's nice when you feel called. You finally found the place, sort of the peg. You're the peg that fits this particular hole perfectly. I know that's a wonderful feeling. So all right, you've started out mainly working for people who were trying to contact their relatives.
And also people that wanted to know things about their future potentials. And the future is changeable based on our thoughts, words, and actions because the Creator gave us this wonderful gift of free will. But yes, mediumship is the connection between the loved ones in the light and the client who is having the reading.
Again, this is an area which I've tried to avoid because I was so cranky about the fact that I kept getting these bad readings. I mean, I paid one fellow $1,200, and he's famous. And I could not believe how sort of vague and disappointing the whole thing was. And I understand now that it was my fault to some extent because I didn't have anybody who had died recently. I was sort of being skeptical anyway, which already is a barrier to making the communication work. So I don't blame him entirely, but it just made me cranky. Tell us now, a psychic medium is someone who reads the minds of the dead, or how exactly does that work?
It's sort of like tuning in to the energy of the client. And then through their energy or their aura, the electromagnetic field that's around them, you trace through that energy into what I call a reception room or a reception area where spirit gathers. And by spirit, I mean guides, loved ones in the light, and angels. And I connect through the client's voice. It's not necessary for me to be in the same room with the client. In fact, people will travel a long ways to Carefree, Arizona to see me. And then they're like, you didn't look at me through the whole reading. Your eyes were closed or you were doing this automatic writing thing on your legal pad. But different mediums connect in different ways. And my style is I'm writing constantly. I'm doing automatic writing. And I'm focusing on the pictures and the feelings that I'm receiving.
Now, but when you did my reading, of course, you had talked to me before. I had met you, although really not very much. We really hardly spoke. But you already had my loved ones around you when we started talking. So how did, if you were connecting through my aura or my voice, how did they know to find you? So how did that loop get closed?
That's a great question. I do a pre-reading meditation. All I need is the client's first name. I sit down and I write their first name on the piece of paper. I've done my grounding, my protection, and then I invite their spiritual team to come forward and I prepare them. And what I say to them is, welcome. I'm glad that you're here for Roberta's reading. I'm the medium. Nothing gets through unless I put it through. And here's how I work, just to get them sort of acclimated. And I tell them, I can see, hear, feel you. Please use whichever communication method works best for you. I introduce them to my guide, who is standing on my right-hand side, and say, if you have any questions about getting the information through to me, you work with him. I say, here's my guardian angel standing on my left-hand side. She enforces my rules. Nobody gets into the space unless they care about Roberta. Now, I can't specifically, like, order up mom and dad like a burger and fries, but, you know, I can keep out people who are just random people that don't belong here. I can guarantee that it'll be positive and loving, but I have no idea what's going to happen. So in that 15 minutes, they're getting an education because they want help. They want to know, how do I communicate with this lady? Even if you've had readings before, every medium's different. And then as soon as I hear your voice on the phone or you sit down in my office, boom, I'm ready to go. It just sort of jumpstarts things.
Fascinating. All right. This was new for me because I really had never done this with an honest wish to contact someone. My mother died 2.5 years before we did this, which was in February. And I had the sense she was trying to get me to talk to her. She had been a skeptic. She died in fear, which is terrible. She hung on for years and wouldn't die. So the first thing she said through Suzanne was, I don't know why I was so reluctant to come here. This is wonderful. And by the way, you were right about everything, talking about my book. So that was a great introduction. But finding out that she had had an easy transition, all of that was really tremendously comforting for me. Even though I knew she would be fine, I know how it works, it still was nice to hear.
Well, you know, Roberta, and you've written about this in your wonderful books, our personalities stay with us. They remain intact. We take all the memories, good, bad, or indifferent, with us. We have the opportunity to grow and learn there. But the life, the relationship, it's ongoing as far as the loved ones in the afterlife are concerned. They can tune in to us sort of like they're watching us on a TV. And so, you know, they're ready to talk and they're ready to help. And it's a pleasure to be able to be that medium in between.
I had 70 people there, which apparently was a little large, a group. Most of them were relatives. Some of them, I didn't even know who they were. Odd things happened. I knew for certain who my mother was because of her personality, frankly, and the things that she said. And my father was exactly the way he had been. He died 20 years ago, and it was like he just walked into the room again, had never been away. So all of that was wonderful. How did you get the names, though?
Most of the time, to get a name, I'll either hear it, which is a little bit harder than my preferred way of getting a name, which is show me someone I know with the same name. Like, for example, a lot of times for Brad, they'll show me Brad Pitt. Now, I know you're probably not connected to Brad Pitt, Brad Pitt's not deceased, so I'm going with they're trying to get me the name Brad, something right. like that. But, right. you know, Roberta, I can go like a week sometimes and nobody in anybody's readings are giving any first names. They're giving personalities. They're giving events that only the two people know, the loved one on the yes. other side and the client. It's really what they want to focus on.
Well, my mother's name is Dorothy and my father's name is Oliver. And these are not usual names. You don't probably know anyone with either of those names. So tell us how you got those.
Now, Dorothy, I don't remember readings. It's like as soon as it's over, it's just gone from me. Something really has to stick out.
Sure.
But I'll say in general, Dorothy comes to me by showing me the Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Now, I do remember Oliver, and I didn't realize that was in your reading, but I was actually seeing the play Oliver.
That'll do it. So what your guides who are doing this really are doing is finding in your mind things that are going to, that they can then show you that will trigger you to sort of say these things. You must mean Oliver because I'm seeing the play, that kind of thing.
Exactly. My mind is a great big database for them. Fortunately, I'm well-traveled. I've read a lot of books. I've met diverse people. So there's a lot of stuff up there. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I got a lot of memories and experiences and things maybe I know a little bit about. So here's this database. I've already, in the pre-reading meditation, said we're going to work together. And so they kind of reach in, root around, find what they need, and pull it out. And if they need help, my guide steps in and helps them.
Oh, that's so interesting. So do you have a sense of the person, of the dead person who is my relative? Do you, when you're in, I know that you don't remember that sense, but when you're in the reading, do you sort of have a sense of them, or is it, are you really just sort of channeling this information to me?
I'll tell you, that's a great question. I'll tell you, here's the difference. If I say, I hear this, or I see this, I'm hearing it or seeing it. But a lot of times I will say, I'm feeling like, or they're giving me the feeling that. And so it's just a wave of emotion, and it goes through my solar plexus, all through my body. Sometimes it will just hit me like in the chest, like in the heart energy center. So I try to be descriptive rather than interpretive because I can get things wrong. Perfect example, I had a mother and father figure coming through for a woman. And mother energy can be mom, grandma, mother-in-law. It's the same thing with father energy. I need more to identify, you know, which one they are. So when I'm asking them in my head, show me more, they were holding Tootsie Rolls in their hands. So I said, I have a mother and father figure here holding Tootsie Rolls. And my client says, oh, that's mom and dad. They called me Toots.
Oh, isn't that
so
cute?
I never know what to expect. I'm just open. And sometimes they even surprise me with their creativity.
Well, and my example would be my grandmother. Now, my grandparents were farmers, and you said this reading had 70 people gathered at this enormous dairy farm with all these cows around, which apparently had been his pet cows in life. They were there, and they were Danish. He was an immigrant. He had a very unusual name. My grandmother never says much, but she was holding an oyster. And the only thing, Suzanne, that made no sense to me in that whole reading with my family was what the business was with the oyster. I kept thinking a pearl. I couldn't imagine what she was up to. So then a month later, you read my daughter. I didn't tell you, and she didn't, that there was a relationship, but they were doing this in the same place, and you pretty quickly figured out who she was. And there was my grandmother holding the darn oyster. But my daughter figured out why. Their last name was Ostergaard. Now, how the heck would you ever get Ostergaard? She was trying to give us the name, which I thought was a terrific validation afterwards, after I realized what she was doing. But we have to be sort of open to whatever can happen during a reading. We can't have a preconceived notion. Right before Grandma died, I whispered the word, rosebud into her ear, and therefore if she doesn't say that, it's not her. They give us very creative sort of ways for us to recognize who they are.
You're right. And I find that the people that get the most healing and inner peace from their reading are the people that just release all their expectations and just let go and let it be what it's going to be, and then take notes. Because just like you said, if you had just dismissed the oyster and never thought of it again, you would have missed something really special.
Right. Right. And that's the kind of thing that she would do as well. I mean, it's really an amazing feeling to be plunged into the family life that you used to be a part of. I mean, all of these people were, they were central to my life. I was central to theirs for a long time. And now all of them have been gone from here for many years. But there they are, and their family life goes on. They're still kidding around. They're still doing all the things that they did when they were here. And they were even talking about, this is where we're going to have your party. I said, let's not do it quite yet. They said, no, it'll be a while. But all of that was just, I can't tell you how wonderful it was. And for somebody who had always believed that it was not possible to have this kind of real communion with someone you loved. I mean, I know they're there and fine, but I just never believed this would work. You made it work, and it was beautiful, Suzanne. I can't tell you how wonderful it was.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to hear that. It is an honor to be of service. And a lot of times, Roberta, it's the timing of the client's life, what's going on in their life. And the loved ones may just, you know, save up that big party for a pivotal time. Like, you're going to have some experience in your life, a big change, a new project, or they just call a family reunion. And then sometimes the client's just not ready to hear certain things. So you mentioned that you had readings, and expensive readings with famous people. And you know, I think it's really neat that you're saying, I take some ownership that those didn't work out because I was closed off. You really can't shut down the energy.
Yes.
You know, when I first start a reading, sometimes if I feel like I think I've got a skeptic, I want to check if they're the good kind of skeptic, like the open-minded, or the closed-minded. And so sometimes what I'll do is I'll send a hello in my mind from the top of my head to theirs. And I do this whether they're in my office or on the phone. If I get a hello back, I'm like, okay, open-minded skeptic.
Really?
This is great. I can do that. If I get a brick wall back or nothing back, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a test.
No.
Oh boy, we're going to be like pulling teeth here, but I still do my job.
So when people want a reading, but they know that they're feeling closed in, how can they open themselves so that the reading can work for them?
You have to want the reading. You have to want it to happen. You have to allow it to happen. And you've got to get rid of that list of things that you have to hear to know that it's real.
Right.
Now, you know, people will. You said Rosebud a while ago, or a secret code word or whatever.
Yeah.
People will give me, the spirits will say, I make these numbers appear on the clock all the time and they see them, or, you
yes.
know, whatever it is. But that's up to them. I don't have any control over that. So you want to have a good reading, get a referral from somebody, read independent reviews, just look at their website and trust your own gut instincts.
Right.
Is this somebody that you feel comfortable with? And then release your expectations. And prayer and meditation is very helpful. Inviting your loved ones ahead of time. Hey, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, next Tuesday at 2, I've got a reading with Suzanne. Be there.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, the reason that I chose you, I should just mention, because people are thinking, well, if she was so skeptical, why Suzanne? Well, last July, we had the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies conference in Arizona, and there will incidentally be one in September, and we have to make sure everyone realizes Suzanne will be there as well this year. But last year, Suzanne did gallery readings, and I think you and Jamie Clark both did.
Mm-hmm.
All I was hearing, Suzanne, throughout the conference was how good your readings had been. And that really impressed me because I kept hearing it from different people. So I said, okay, if all of these people had such good experiences with you, I was willing to try and to try to be open-minded about it.
Roberta, I got to tell you, I'm glad that you did have a reading with me because it was really good for you. But I got to tell you, I'm so glad I didn't know that you were skeptical and that you'd had lots of readings that didn't work out. I mean, no pressure there.
No, I did want it to work. That was part of the reason that I certainly didn't want you to think I was coming in with a negative attitude. I wasn't sure what to expect. And I think that everyone listening needs to realize it doesn't always work, but when it works, it's really life transforming. For me, it was life transforming because of the second part of my reading, which actually for 45 minutes, we sort of, my family was there. But then Suzanne said, your guides are here too, and you have 11 guides, which is a lot, I think. I must be a handful or something
it
to
is.
Control.
It's a lot of guides.
I just should mention first, before I tell you why this was such an amazing thing for me, let me just quickly remind everyone, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch. And you can learn more about all my books at robertagrimes.com. Our wonderful guest today is Suzanne Wilson, who is a genuine and beautiful psychic medium. I'm learning now, partly because of my experiences with Suzanne, that all of us are to some extent psychic. We're all communicating with the dead. Suzanne, you and my guides have already taught me so much. But that's what opened up suddenly for me in the latter part of that February reading. I had heard from my primary guide when I was 8 years old. I had an experience of light. I've talked about it before. I woke up in the middle of the night. I knew there was no God. And then there was a brilliant flash of light in the room. And a voice said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me if you didn't know what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." And I thought that was normal. It happened to me a second time when I was 20 and started to get discouraged again. I didn't withdrawal this time, just the light and the voice saying, "I will never leave you." You would think I would have been more curious about who that was, but I wasn't. I just have happily enjoyed my life. I came to understand that had been my primary guide that must have done that, letting me know he was there by showing me what it would be like if he weren't there. It wasn't good. But I never really thought about it. And then, you know, you said, here are your guides who want to meet with you. And that was nice. And it turned out that four of them are trying to help me live a more normal life. That'll never happen. Three of them work with me on my afterlife-related stuff, and three work with me on my fiction. So I was really feeling terrific. And then my primary guide stepped forward, and I met him. I found out who that voice had been. What an extraordinary experience that was. A wonderful, mild, strong, unassuming man named Thomas. He's real.
He's real. And everyone has a spiritual team and they have guides. It's just that most people aren't aware of them. I call the spirit guides the unsung heroes of the afterlife because they really don't get a lot of credit. They work behind the scenes. It's a real job that they train for, mainly by having a lot of lives and a lot of experiences. And then some guides will be working with you for a season or a reason. Like, for example, you have a new job. There's a guide that comes in that transitional, getting used to your new job phase. You have a divorce. There's somebody that's going to come in, maybe one or two guides to get you through that. But then there's one guide that's with you from the time you come into the body to the time that you leave. And I refer to that guide as the master guide. Not because they're your master. Nobody's your master. Remember, the Creator gives us free will, but they're familiar, intimately familiar with the master blueprint, the broad strokes of the life that you planned before you were born, the kinds of experiences you want to have, the kinds of learning that you wanted to experience as a soul. And they know all about your past lives too, so they can give you gentle nudges on your path to help you accomplish those things.
Well, it's really, having learned academically about them, to meet the one who has taken this role in your life is an extraordinary experience. I mean, we plan before we're born. Our primary guide agrees to take this role in our lives. They're often someone who has been close to us before. In fact, I've subsequently learned that Thomas and I have had 17 lifetimes together. So he knows me quite well at this point. I'm surprised he was willing to do this for me, given that. But they help us plan our lives, and we plan our lives in part in order for us to have a set of experiences which will help us grow spiritually and in a balanced way. I mean, if you go to a gym, there are all kinds of different machines there to, you know, work out and strengthen different muscle groups. And in just the same way, the trials, especially that we plan for this lifetime, are to strengthen us and balance us in different ways spiritually. And so our guide helped us work that out. And our primary guide also meets with us. How often do you think, Suzanne? I've heard every night, but then I've heard, oh, once or twice a week or frequently. How often do we tend to meet with our guides?
Over the years working with my intuition development students and from my own experience, I found that the guides are pretty much always on standby. They're right there. The sitting down, meeting, having sort of like a status update with your counsel generally happens on the astral plane, which is just, as you said, when you're asleep and you travel out of body, because everybody has a counsel that they meet with. And this counsel can be guides, angels, perhaps even a loved one that's been important to you in this life and many lives. And there are these review periods of where am I right now? What do I need to do? And you'll know that you've had one when you wake up in the morning. Huh, I've got an idea.
Yes.
I know how to solve that problem.
Yes.
Or I got to go write this book. Or I need to make this phone call right now because
right.
You've had some kind of gentle nudge or some review. In between lives, that's when it gets really intensive because you're going to review the life that you just came from, where you succeeded, where you came up short, and you know, how long are you going to stay in the afterlife this time? And what do you think you want to work on next time? And there's usually a series of meetings before coming back. So it's going on all the time. It's not necessary that you meet your guide, know your guide, get your guide's name. But I have found that the people that do, if they're mediums, they become exceptional mediums. If they're just civilians, as I call them, that they become more inspired, more creative.
Yeah, that's been
they're
my
always
experience.
There.
Yeah, I had learned to work with them a little bit, even though I didn't know who they were, because I had discovered that if something, especially in my writing, if I wasn't sure about something, I would think it before I went to sleep. I didn't even have to say it aloud. I would just think, now, all right, I've come to this problem in a plot, or I'm not sure how to handle this issue in a nonfiction book. I'd sleep on it. And when I woke up in the morning, almost always there was a clear answer in my mind. And it was a good answer. It wasn't, you know, they had put some effort into solving a problem I hadn't been able to solve when I was awake. And I figured out it was my guides doing that. It wasn't me. And I recommend to anybody who is at all interested in trying to get the most out of this relationship, just think the question before you go to sleep and be open to the answer. The first few thoughts in your mind when you wake up in the morning are very likely to be the answer that they're, because they want to help us so badly. That's what's something most people have no idea about. People think they're alone, but we are never alone.
No, you're never alone. You're always loved, guided, cherished, supported by this invisible team. And some people will say, well, how do I meet my guide, or how do I know what they look like? And to your point about things happening while you're asleep, before you go to bed at night, say your prayers, your affirmations, whatever things that you say, and then ask the angels for the gift of a dream visit with your guides and for the gift of remembering the dream visit. And you'll be surprised at the things that you'll wake up just having a feeling or knowing.
Yeah, it's really quite astonishing. So I was sort of bowled over by that, and it was a wonderful thing to sort of know. It made me realize I'm feeling this master guide of mine all the time. A part of my own personality, really, the sort of strong, silent part of my personality is him. I'm flighty without him. I now understand that. But what happened was about a month later, I heard from Suzanne. She said, you know, Thomas wants to talk to you. Do you have some time on Saturday? I have a little opening. So we spent a whole hour, he and I, hashing out a lot of things, which was, I'm not ready to talk about it yet, but I will be ready in a month or two to talk about it. It was extraordinary. This was such a turning point of my life. And the upshot was that he wanted me to write a book. And what I gather, Suzanne, is that they probably had been trying to get me to write this book for quite some time, because they had been working with me on my writing. They thought, oh, she'll write this book, not a problem. But it wasn't anything I was doing. So in frustration, he decided to, A, say, you know, come and meet me, and B, tell me what he wanted me to do. I realized afterwards it was because I had been so thick, probably, when they were trying to talk to me at night.
Well, I don't know about how you being so thick. You're one of the brighter people that I've met. But I will say this, that your guides will use anyone and anything that they have to get their point across. Signs, symbols, emotions, synchronicities, the dream visits. But let's also give you some credit, and we all should give ourselves some credit too for this guidance, because a lot of this is our higher selves, that part of us that's always connected with spirit. And that's inherent in all the communications with the guides. None of this happens in a vacuum, and they're not all, we externalize a lot of things. It's a person, they look like this, that's their name. And it's great because it helps with the communication process. Like, I know my guide's name is Leo Roy. I call him LR for short. I know what he looks like. Other people, without me telling them, have seen him and described him. But I also know he's working with my higher self, my soul self, and that I'm part and parcel of this process. And it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. Did you have other lifetimes with him?
Oh, yes. And I'm glad you asked that, because there's been a couple readings. And remember, I don't remember readings unless something really stands out. But there's been a couple readings where the guide comes in and says, your client sitting there, they were my guide, and now we've swapped places and I'm their guide. And I have that same relationship with LR, where I've been his spirit guide when he's in an incarnation, and now we've swapped.
How interesting. Maybe Thomas and I have done that too. He seems to think he is through incarnating, just recently has stopped incarnating. He also said during that long hour we spent, in which actually I did much more arguing than I should have. I should just have listened. But when people are telling you that to do things and telling you things that are shocking or surprising to you, you tend to fight back. So I did. But he said then, this could be my last incarnation. I have to try to be really good and have it be the case. He said, I might want to come back to teach. I could imagine that. But this is all so new to me, Suzanne. I know this stuff intellectually. I feel like, a biologist who has been studying the lives of bears my whole life, and suddenly I'm a bear. It's a weird feeling. It really is.
Yeah, you've been the investigator, the observer, the reporter, the person that gathers the resources and analyzes them, and now you get to just experience.
It is really something which I think everybody a lot younger than I should be doing this. This is a whole aspect of your life which is happening because there is so much respect for each of us by our guidance teams. They don't intrude themselves, except Thomas does, but most of them do not intrude themselves. And it's just, they're waiting for us to say, you know, howdy, how are you? Who are you? How can we, you know, have a closer relationship? This is open. This is a possibility everybody has. And I just, you work with other people who are in this position too, right? You help people learn how to have a closer relationship.
I have students from all over the planet who I work with to help them meet their guides, validate them, and establish what I call a spiritual rapport, so that when they want to, they're able to receive messages at will. And they've found that it's been really helpful in letting them, empowering them to make their own best decisions with more calm, with a heart space of inner peace.
It does make you feel empowered to know these people, as opposed to I can't even describe the difference. It is like finding a whole new aspect of yourself that you never knew was there, that's there to be explored. I mean, there's a process here. I'm taking a course with Suzanne, a series of three sessions to help me have a deeper connection, primarily with Thomas, but also with the others who are helping me. And I'm so excited about doing that. It's like a whole new aspect of life that I never even knew was there.
You're going to enjoy it so much. And, you know, there are so many guides that can be on the team. Everybody has a healing guide that works with them from time to time, and they can be interchangeable. Different guides come in as a healing guide to help you accept and heal yourself, and to accept and help others to heal. Loved ones, every once in a while, people will say, I think my dad's my guide, or my grandma's my guide.
I've heard that too.
And yes, they will come in for a while and be a helper guide, and they will send you signs, symbols, and synchronicities, dream visits. And they do help as a guide and play that role and consult. But most of the time, the guides, it's a real job that they get qualified for.
Yes.
And they're attracted to you. They have an affinity for you and want to be assigned to you and choose you, and you choose them on a soul level because there's similarities in your lives and similarities in your experiences. So they really are sort of like subject matter experts. But I want to be really clear here. Nobody tells you what to do or directs you or usurps your free will. They just try to give you more clarity so that you feel like you're empowered to hit those milestones that you put up for yourself in your pre-birth planning, and that you just live a life that has heaven on earth.
I think that that's a very important thing to stress, because it's clear to me, Suzanne, that before I was born, we worked out, Thomas and I, what it was I would be doing, what it was I would be writing. And I'm going to, within the next month, tell everyone what it is I've been working on at his behest, because it still blows my mind. I need to sort of settle it myself before I can talk about it. But it's clear to me that was planned. It's just that because we forget when we come into bodies, we don't have a conscious memory of our life plan, and we don't have a conscious memory really of anything that happened before we were born. It's clear to me that he just had to get very specific because it was time to do something that I had planned, but I forgot about that. So that's the exception, I think, more than the rule. I think in most cases, it's really always we have these opportunities that come into our lives, or things happen, or we meet people at the right times. And so our plans are evolving nicely, and we're maybe tweaking them. One of the things that seems clear is that as we move through our lives, if we're doing, especially if we're doing well and learning what we need to learn from the things that are happening, we're not resisting the learning, but we're growing spiritually very well, we'll meet and maybe maybe tweak things. Maybe we don't need that auto accident after all, because we learned so much from this other experience. Or maybe, you've made so much progress. Here are some things you might add to your life plan so you get even more out of this lifetime. Your guides can help you make those decisions, but the decisions are always yours.
That's right. And, you know, think of it this way, that veil of forgetfulness that's placed over you when you were born is healthy and helpful to you, because if you were born with all of this knowledge up front,
oh, no.
It's like the teacher giving you the answers to the test questions. Yeah. How would you learn anything?
Right. And also you would get too confused. This way you have a brand new life, a brand new chance to make the most of these opportunities that we have in our lives. I think it's a much happier experience than it is if you can also remember the time you were, you know, run over by an ox in 1408 or something. There's so many lives we've lived. We really do need that amnesia while we're here. But it is, I'm glad that you stressed that, although my guide is telling me you really need to do this, most of the times the guides are just, they're really only telling us what we ask them to tell us, rather than being serious about telling us to do anything. It's all really what we've planned.
That's exactly right. It is truly a spiritual team, and our soul is the center of that team, because we're here to, and I think I'm going to quote you now, Roberta, to give and receive as much compassion and forgiveness, love and forgiveness, as humanly possible. And just keep in mind that antagonists can be our best teachers. We stand to learn most about ourselves through we handle that.
Exactly. And if we don't have that kind of stress on those spiritual muscles, we don't really tend to learn what we need to learn. That's a very good point. In fact, some people who are reporting to us from the afterlife will say that they've had their party, and one of the things that amazed them was that this or that person who had been their enemy in life, couldn't stand him, whether it was a boss or a horrible brother-in-law, whoever it was, they realized as soon as they saw him there that he was actually a very, very close eternal friend who had just taken that negative role as a favor in that mm-hmm. lifetime to help us to learn certain things in that relationship. That's a shock to many people, but that often happens.
That's true. And the spirits have told me a lot of times about debates going on in the planning council meetings about, I can't come back and be that mean parrot in your next life. I love you too much. And it's like, oh, if you love me that much, then do this for me. It's one of the lessons I haven't done yet. So it's just amazing.
Isn't that? Yeah. Oh, that's funny. What great validation. Yeah, I had figured that out independently. Because there is some information people who are communicating from the afterlife levels about planning. This is a whole area, though. Getting to know Thomas better and coming to better understand my own life planning is a whole new experience for me, because I've only known it academically, and there is a lot more to learn when you actually watch it happening and see how it how it just unfolds. Another important thing that Thomas has said is that I'm helping him to grow spiritually. This experience of guiding me is helping him. Now, I guess I really didn't understand that about these guides, Suzanne, that they are growing as they guide us.
Every experience is learning. Every experience that you have, your guides will use to be able to teach and heal other souls and work with other spirit guides and share information. It's a community, a collective. We talk so much about the collective subconscious and the divine source and how we're all one. Well, they live it there.
Yes.
And we are their heaven. We are what they're existing for, because we're all connected and they're sharing and they're learning. Like some people are there, they'll tell me I'm a higher level teacher, but I came back and did two more incarnations so that I could gather more information for my teaching in my classroom over here. Like, great.
That's great. That's a whole new perspective. I think most people here think this life is important. It's really the life there that's this is a significant thing we're doing, being here, we're learning and growing. But our life there is our real life. And that's true of the people who are taking a role as guides. And that's true of you and me who are, you know, looking forward to going home. It's a very different perspective from what most people are used to.
Yeah. And furthermore, I've heard that some souls have said I got bored in the afterlife. There was no conflict. There's nothing new. I mean, it's kind of like, how many rounds of golf can you play? You know?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm coming back. I'm going to incarnate because I need something. I need experience. I'm craving it. I'm yearning for it. And they do. They come back.
Isn't that wonderful? It's just a whole new way of looking at things. What excites me is that I didn't know that there was a whole new area where I could explore and learn. I've learned so much. I mean, I've spent decades at this. I feel as if this is a whole new field of very exciting study for me. And I can't wait to get more into it. I'm very grateful to you for your doing this for me, Suzanne, because as I say, I'm a hard case. Too bad. Actually, it's a good thing you didn't know I'm a hard case, but I am. And you certainly have fixed that for me. I'm not.
Well, you're one of the world's preeminent afterlife experts. And perhaps one of the reasons why you never got into the area of guides before is because you're a guide and maybe you're back here just getting some more information to take back and share and be a teacher. So, hey, no, welcome to my world.
Yeah, it is a whole new way of looking at things. I'm interested in learning more about my relationship with my primary guide and what it's been in the past because, who knows? Who knows, everyone? We're eternal beings. We've lived hundreds, most of us, of lifetimes, certainly tens of lifetimes. And it's just exciting to be sort of on the threshold of learning more. I should pause here before we're coming close to wrapping up, but I should just say that Suzanne Wilson is going to be at the September 25th to 27th Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies conference in Scottsdale called Life in the Afterlife. And you're going to do a gallery reading there too, right? Wasn't that just
arranged? I am. On Thursday evening, I will be doing a gallery style reading or platform work as the spiritualists call it. And then on Friday morning, I'll have a session on how to identify, validate, and work with spirit guides. And for other information about readings, past life regressions, intuition development, training sessions. I'm the Carefree Medium, so you can find me at carefreemedium.com.
Because she lives in Carefree, Arizona.
I live and work in Carefree, Arizona.
Right.
And you'll love this. It's such an eccentric little cowboy town. They say it's where cowboys and caviar meet.
Oh my goodness, that's eccentric. the thing about the conference is going to be that there will be a lot of people there who are wonderful, like Suzanne. This is going to be a feast. I've been to a number of afterlife conferences, but none like this one, Suzanne. Everybody there is really a star.
It is one of the most amazing lineups I have ever seen in my life. 27.
27
experts.
Now? Oh my goodness.
Yes. It's amazing, and it's priced reasonably. I believe there's still some hotel rooms left. It's going to be sold out, though. It will be sold out, so you shouldn't wait if you're going to go.
We're going to cap it at 300 attendees, I think, and they're almost out of hotel rooms. So if you're interested in exploring this, go to ASCSI.org. ASCSI.org and look at the Life in the Afterlife conference information. And I would recommend going there within the next day or two and checking it out because if you'd like to come, we're not certain we're going to cap it, but we think we're going to have to. And we're running out of rooms altogether. That's been an ongoing problem. We think there will be about 350 people there. The last one, that's twice what we had at the last one. And so, the last one felt cozy. This one will be really cozy, but we've opened up some more hotel space and it's going to be beautiful. Other people there will be George Noory of Coast to Coast, who's going to be doing a luncheon that nobody should miss. And David Thompson, who is a materialization medium, is going to be doing materialization seances, two of them. And also, he's going to be doing something in light in which his primary guide, William, who lived in the 1800s, will materialize for us all to enjoy. Apparently, he's a very tall guy. This is just unbelievable, Suzanne. I'm so excited. I wish it were already September. This is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be great.
So is there anything else you want people to know? Because we're really sort of coming to the end of this time.
I would like to encourage people to always honor yourself. Carve out at least 5 minutes of every day where you sit with all of the electronic devices turned off. And in the stillness, focus on your breath, your breathing through your nose, not too fast, not too slow. See yourself encased in a beautiful golden bubble of protection. And just give gratitude. Think of your blessings. If you can think of three things every day that you're grateful for, I tell you, the expression of gratitude carries a lot of weight in the spirit world, and it helps you manifest even more great things.
That's wonderful. Perfect. Well, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you fully grasp all the implications of that fact, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on iTunes. Just search there for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch, which explores all the ways our loved ones are giving us signs of their survival and also ways we can contact them. And you'll find details about all my books plus my blog. Please read my blog. I love doing it for people, and I love hearing from people who read it. You'll find all of that at robertagrimes.com. Our guest next week is going to be Janice Heafy Durham. She's the retired publisher of the Sacramento Bee. Her wonderful book is The Hand on the Mirror. It details how her relationship with her husband, Max, continued after his untimely death. She was a skeptic before she lost her husband. She is not a skeptic now. And it is a beautiful story. Don't miss it. Now, this week we've been speaking with Suzanne Wilson. She is that rarest of people. She's a genuine and highly gifted psychic medium. I was a skeptic about psychic mediums. I'm admitting that now. I was sort of not admitting it before. 10 years after I had given up trying, my mother seemed to be trying to get in touch with me. I think, Suzanne, though, it may have been Thomas who was behind the impulse. But I called Suzanne, and I tried it with her, and she has transformed my life. Not only am I chatting now with people I hadn't seen in 20 years, but for the first time, through Suzanne, I have met Thomas. He's my primary guide, my dearest friend. I have known him since I was a tiny child, and it's only now I'm meeting him. Our relationship is just beginning, and I'm thrilled about that. Don't make my mistake and wait so long. Each of us has someone just like Thomas who's lovingly helping us to live our lives. Isn't it time for you to reach out and hug and learn from your own spirit guide? For now, though, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.